This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Here's a story that's 100% true. And it's about how accounting is a great choice of career. Here's the facts.
With accounting, you'll have flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets, and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community.
Want to start an exciting new chapter? Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom.
Do more. Live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
I don't know how to talk to you guys in person for real.
Pretend like we're faces in boxes on the screen. Like do one of these.
Oh, okay. Now I see the TV behind you that's coming on, and I see your Amazon box.
Yeah, if actually you all sync it up to your phones and just hold your phone up to me, I'd rather look at that.
everyone just stare at your phone like, ah, yeah.
Are we doing an episode or are we just chatting?
I thought we were going to record an episode of Mark's Lens Dry Case.
Who's hosting?
This is a bonus episode.
I did just look directly at the screen on the camera instead of your face to talk to you. This is weird.
Should we three-headed expert the intro?
No. Do we need a warm-up?
Katie! Beautiful.
I don't know if that helps. I think that makes it worse.
Well, I'm out of ideas.
What kind of warm-up were you thinking, Mark?
I don't know. I don't want to do a warm-up. This was pointed into my chest. I don't think that's going to help.
Mine is kind of like in my chest, too. Is that okay? Maybe it's just like a heartbeat?
His was just too high. Oh, that's cool. That's very... It's like it's on your lapel.
I know, right?
I got this jacket in Iceland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not Icelandic.
Well, there's no more of those because it was swallowed up by a volcano, right?
Yeah, whole island gone. I was doing a video where I was reviewing Icelandic candy, and I wanted to start it off by, like, talking about volcanoes, and Amy was very concerned because she didn't, at this point it hadn't erupted when I recorded this video. Ah. So it was like a concern of, like, if I said a joke about it at the beginning of the video, and then it was horrible and people died, that might not be cool, might want to do a different intro, and she's
that
totally
would be
right.
Not ideal.
Totally right, but once the camera goes, I can't stop. The bit, and I had a whole bit about magma and lava and prehistoric times.
The whole time in your head, you're like, not volcanoes, not volcanoes.
I hate when that happens. You're like, don't say this, don't say this, don't say this.
I hope that doesn't happen to you guys and you're thinking of something horribly racist. You ever worry about that on stage? Is like, you know, not that you ever would, but for some reason you're like...
I guess maybe it's not a smart idea. I never worried about racism coming out because I really just like... I don't feel like I have those kind of thoughts generally, but I do always think of the time when we were with Rachel and we were like practicing. We were learning like how improv works and stuff. And somehow we ended up doing a thing where a school shooting happened. And like it was just a random bit and we started and right in the middle of it, like everyone in the whole room, even people who weren't in on the skit were just like, Cut that one. Start a new one. Everyone, you guys are done. Start. Yeah. And it was like, how did that happen?
One of our warm-ups, we had Hitler go to Cracker Barrel.
Hey, that was normal.
That was very, very understandable.
Fine.
I feel like if Hitler were alive today, he would appreciate Cracker Barrel.
He might. And then we had one where Tyler was like doing a cleanup. I don't remember what happened, but his cleanup one got a little like edgy too, but I don't remember why.
Maybe we should cut this out. I don't even know.
No, listen, I think it's fair to leave in. Look, we all acknowledged in the moment and also after the fact, we were like, that's not comedic material.
Well, it's like you try to think of the things like, it's not like necessarily we think of those things often. It's just like before you're about to record or go live, you're like, all right, just get all the weird thoughts out now. And sometimes when your brain starts thinking of things you shouldn't think of, you start thinking of things you shouldn't think of. And like you kind of force your brain to go there even though you normally wouldn't. It's a weird thing that you try to avoid, but you go there by trying to avoid it.
I've never done that.
Yeah, not me.
No, I don't have that problem.
I live there.
My problem, you know what my problem is when I talk to you guys, that's when I say bad stuff. It's your fault.
I actually think that it's Wade's fault.
Oh, that's fair.
So I just want to throw that out there.
Wade's fault.
My fault. I don't know if that'll do what I think it did.
I don't think that does what you
but
think it does.
But this will do what it...
Oh.
Don't, please, okay. Don't.
My finger is still on screen. I'm doing like a very like shaky anime finger point. Anyway, that's not... I mean, we're here to talk about anything we want.
Right.
I do think about that a lot because it's just that moment of like, well, don't do anything horrible. Let's say whatever we think of first.
That's a problem with improv. It really trains you to just like spit it out, like whatever's on your mind.
And then when something goes astray, I talk about this one a lot. We did a skit. Remember the day in the life bit we did where we'd like have someone come up on stage, they would talk, and we would do like a skit based on their lives.
Right.
And I went out there and I was like carrying a blanket. And I had like my thumb in my mouth and I was like trying to be the little girl in the story. I don't remember the whole story, but I was trying to be like the little girl in the story. And I'm like, all right, well, I think it's time for, and then Tyler came out and he's like, yeah, mom. And I was like, oh, you know me, sweetie. And I had to switch from like a 3-year-old to like mom.
Well, you don't change characters. That's just how that
well, no,
mom
I just
is.
All of a sudden was mom with a blanket in my thumb and mouth. Yeah, right? I had to yes and it.
Moms do that.
But my point is like whenever you're thrown something like that, like out of the left field and you have to adapt on stage.
I just want to say, Mark, those are infant fidget toys.
They're really good.
If they're too complicated for you, we could see if they have any newborn fidget toys.
My story is dumb anyway. We can move on.
I was listening.
Yeah. I do remember that one. I mean, that just happens. Also, we all did that to each other because...
Like, it's already... Improv's already tough, but whenever you're thrown a loop, that's when your brain can go to those other places. Because if you're just, like, all of a sudden grasping to, like, try to regain some semblance of where you are...
You felt thinking? Like you weren't grasping every moment of every improv scene you were ever a part of?
No, I think that one specifically happened in LA, because I think LA was my weakest show.
I don't know if it's supposed to feel like this, but I every moment I'm in any improv thing, my mind is just like, oh, a word, any word, keep it going. What's the next word? And it's like I don't, not like I just randomly veer off of whatever the scene is, but I never feel like, oh, this is what's happening. I'm always like, is this what's happening? Am I sure?
Only musical improv did I have that. Regular improv, I was okay. Anytime we did musical stuff, I was like, oh, sweet baby Jesus, what am I going to do?
I would be so curious to see how we would do now after so long not doing it. I bet, you know, maybe it would. Who knows?
You know, the thing that I always strikes me whenever I watch, like, clips of Whose Line or clips of other stuff Ryan and Colin and those guys do, the physical stuff is so hard to work in. And I don't know why, because like...
You really want to plant your feet and just...
Yeah,
like,
just something about doing that where you're like, I'm standing here. And but they, like, just to do a simple motion, one of the things that killed you guys, we were doing a show, we're doing the day in the life bit, and the person was like an artist or something, and they were drawing. And I just walked out and started a thing, and I was just like... And like turned a page and started, and you guys were like losing it behind me. And I was like, I didn't do anything. I didn't say shit. That was one of the funniest things I did the whole time. It was purely like one motion.
Do you remember in the Australia leg when you guys were up and it was change? And then I said, me and Tyler in the background were like, you're moving something. So like, well, let's just be extra workers in the background. And we started moving something. And then every time that Dan hit change, had the ding for that, we would do it in a different way. And then Dan stopped changing for you guys and then started changing us in the background. That's why it got so rapid fire, because it worked from like us holding someone like this to like this to in our teeth. And then at the end of it, Tyler was just humping. Like, I think it was a piece of glass. It was like full on all body thrusting this thing into the ground. Like, I thought that was the physicality sometimes was killing it.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Here's a story that's 100% true, and it's about how accounting is a great choice of career. Here's the facts.
With accounting, you'll have flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community.
Want to start an exciting new chapter? Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom.
Do more. Live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
I've never thought about what my funniest bit was with us. I don't know. I don't know where I would go with
well,
that.
Well, as with everything, my actual funniest bit that everyone really enjoyed was lost forever because the footage was lost and or wasn't recorded because we weren't recording the whale warm-up.
Your ragey on the bus thing? Or the
bus interview that where the footage got corrupted and the sadness of the whale.
My socks are long gone.
My pants are on fire. My socks are long gone.
No, that's why nowadays I'm so much about data redundancies. People think I go crazy talking about storage, but it's like, that's a real thing.
You could lose a lot of files really easy.
My brother just said, I didn't know that he was doing this, but my dad has had computers forever. And he's had a computer that he's carried with him since we were like 5 years old. And my brother was looking on that computer to see if it would turn on, and it did turn on. This is a 20-year-old hard drive.
Ooh.
That platter disk that still spun up. He was making a backup of it because those hard drives do not last very long.
No, those things suck.
And to get one that's like 20 years old, there's every chance that for every second it's on, it could die at any moment. And so he's copying files off it. But it's like I forget how many gigabytes, but it's in the gigabyte range of storage, which doesn't seem like a lot nowadays to transfer.
That seems like a lot to me for back then. 20 years old with gigabytes of storage?
Well, I'm sure it was a nice computer. Your dad was a real computer guy.
He had the top of the line stuff all the time. So he was very much about that. But however many gigabytes it was, it only had a USB 1.0 connection.
Oof.
The first iteration of USB, it had that. And it transfers at maybe a megabyte a second. Like, I don't even know if it transfers that fast. It's extremely slow. So he ran this overnight, just crossing his fingers that the hard drive would transfer everything. Because there were some like old documents, there might have been a few pictures there, there's some of the stuff that he worked on, things that'll never, would have been gone forever if he hadn't been able to copy it, but he did, he copied it all. Data preservation in an era when everyone thinks that everything lasts forever on the cloud, you know, it's much more fragile than people believe. Like, it is actually incredibly fragile. And just because you have something in the cloud does not mean that there are backups of it somewhere else. Because if that server infrastructure goes down, if it gets hit with the wrong number of drive failures, you could lose data. There's no guarantee that it's going to
stay. And no matter how big the company is, they just straight up go out of business. There are games being deleted off of like the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store that, once that version of it is gone, just don't exist. Like, there's all kinds of stuff where companies, if it goes out of business, even if, like, Google is basically invincible, right? Alphabet runs the world through a secret cabal.
Sure.
They're not actually invulnerable to going out of business. In our lifetimes, they could absolutely encounter some kind of problem, get bought by some other conglomerate, who knows, and, like, the server that you count on to, like, all my stuff is there, it's totally safe, it just could be turned off in a moment. And they have no obligation to you or your data. It's pure, you're relying on their continued existence and their continued playing nice and letting you keep that data on their thing.
Yeah, and cost cutting. Like, because you'd think that it's on the cloud, so there must be multiple copies of your data. Probably not. If you don't pay a premium, they probably only have one copy on one server shard of your data. And if it goes away, it's kind of gone. They might have backups, but who's to know that they even could find it after it goes through all of their twisting tubes of intercomputer networks, you know? If it's lost, it could just be lost in, like, think of, you know, in any sci-fi shows when you got libraries going on into the infinite of nothingness. Like, that could be the equivalent of where your data is, and it could be lost back there. That's why, you know, preservation is actually an important and active process. You have to actually try to preserve these things.
I don't even remember what I might have lost.
Well, you probably won't miss it then.
Yeah, I probably won't.
Your mic's pointed away from you.
Hey, come back. Where are you going?
They make pills for that.
No, it's fine.
It was real droopy, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It's kind of connected there.
Mm-hmm. You don't have any, like, childhood pictures from any random stuff?
So
we want to put them on like CDs and stuff. At my aunt's house, she lives down in Georgia. She has just boxes and boxes of pictures my grandma took, and she would always put them in albums. So we just have tons of albums of photos. And then we had VHS tapes of like our trip to Disney World and other stuff like that, that she's also put on CDs. Yeah. So a lot of our stuff we have physical copies of. We don't have it like just on the internet somewhere. We actually have physical copies.
Yeah. But even those can degrade.
Stop. You're scaring me.
Stop them or stop it? You,
all of it. You're right, though. I mean,
you have to do multiple copies. You have to do backups. There's a reason. I think the legal definition for properly archived something is two LTOs, which are like magnetic tapes, but in huge 80 gigabyte or 100 or 80 terabyte like rolls, and then a RAID array hard drive backup. That qualifies as adequately protected for like insurance purposes.
Hmm.
But there are even nowadays some movies. I was talking to a VFX guy that was saying that he was hired to do like some stereo separation for 3D movie when they go back and they like make it 3D where they cut out something and then create two versions of it.
Oh, you know how they do that now?
Yes.
I never knew how they did that.
Oh, okay.
I was not mocking you.
I thought it was a trivia thing. I was like,
oh, you know how to do that now?
I wasn't mocking you and it wasn't trivia. I was just like, oh, that's cool.
Well, I don't know how to do it myself, but it is. Yeah, they cut it. They wrote things out. They wrote out characters and things that would be at different depths. And then they create two layers and then they...
Markiplier 3D coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Go through all 5,000 of my videos. But they said he asked, because this was a movie where they had already done roto work, right? And this is only the early 2000s.
What is roto work?
Rotoscoping. Rotoscoping is when they draw you out of something. So if you were on a green screen, it's not enough to just press green and go key. For movies, they have to rotoscope and actually draw or cut you out. Back in the day, they actually physically cut.
It's what green using like a green key filter does, but it's doing it in a more precise and artistic way by hand.
So I need Dana to start doing that for all of my videos.
Yes.
Yeah, when you quadruple her pay.
Dana, if you could please roto Wade's face cam so that he has no background, it'll totally be worth
it. No,
I'm going to need a raise.
Roto one... What? Pay you.
Can you hire me and then can I get a raise?
No. Well, it depends. I'll start you at $1. I'll raise you to $2.
What are his obligations?
We'll talk about that later. I don't like... No, we won't talk about that.
Fired.
Yeah, fired. But he said that it was cheaper. They wouldn't give him the already rotoed stuff because it was archived. And they told him it was cheaper just to pay him to redo everything than it was to unarchive stuff.
Huh.
Which I found... I don't know how that could possibly be true.
Yeah, well, why they couldn't just rip a copy of one of the archived pieces? There's rules about that?
Isn't the point of archiving it so you can access it?
No, it's just to have it forever and then maybe access it.
Yeah, well, accessing stored data degrades it, but not a lot. You can't make like a copy?
Not in the digital age. I think it's okay. Here's the thing. The problem is old software, old file formats. I think this is why it would take too long. It's because that was done in software that doesn't exist anymore. It's not supported. It was made in file formats that are not standardized anymore. So not only would they have to unarchive it, get it off, and put it on something else, they would have to load it up on a computer that ran the software.
So they have to unarchive Windows XP, then they have to unarchive the software, then they have to unarchive it.
Pretty much, yeah. And the companies that make this software go under, just like what you were talking about,
right.
Google. And it's like, it's not even just about, like, we're all lucky because, you know, JPEG is ubiquitous and probably will be around forever. But think of it this way, GIF, well, however you pronounce it, that format is basically dead at this point.
I actually say LIF.
Say that again.
Lith. That is fascinating to think about. It's not even the question, and maybe it is the question of accessing it, but it's all the component stuff. Especially filmmaking is an interesting example because, like, it's not like they used to use Adobe Premiere 2003 and we're just on Adobe Premiere 2023. At a certain point when technologies are evolving and in the 2000s, like that sort of 3D stuff, well, not 3D, but that sort of new digital rotoscoping stuff was evolving to a point where like some of it was probably janked together homebrew stuff. Some of it was not official like software releases. It was like the studio developed its own tool to do this one task because it didn't exist. And now that's just like a feature in Adobe.
Yeah. And I guarantee you when that happens, it's one dude who made that. And the studio was like, we made it. But that dude was either fired or he's dead. And that dude can't remake it again because they have no idea how it happened. That's how most code infrastructure works at like legacy software and stuff like that, is one guy made it because he actually decided, hey, I'm going to fix this one problem. But then when he made it so janked up that if you go into the like the code, it'll say like, I've tried debugging this. Here's a number counter of the times I've failed and other people have failed. And it's like 356. When you try to debug this, add another number. it's just a counter inside the code of how many times people can't fix it.
Do you remember King's Island, how they had like for a while they had like a little thing you go sit and like it was like a 3D image and like the chairs would kind of move or whatever?
I think they still have that. Yeah,
I don't know why I had this thought, but I think they had like a 3D SpongeBob one for a while where you put on glasses and there was like SpongeBob. What if they had like an adult version of it where it was like just a porn thing? You'd like dodge the pic that was 3D coming at your face while you were sitting in the chairs.
What? What were we talking about that inspired this?
I don't know. I thought of SpongeBob, and then I was like, 3D. Schlong. I don't know. Just, you know, it's logic. It was, it had roto.
Don't say the word logical.
Because, like, what would be the worst thing to try not to do the roto thing to? It's like, probably like porn, like make something like pop that you don't want to make pop, like make this butthole pop at you or something. It's like, that'd be a dick.
Just the butthole. Not the whole thing around the whole butt around it. Just the butthole is like, whoa. Like a snake in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, ooh.
How was work today? Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Can you show my family what you've been working on? Oh, God. Well, here's what I do for a living. Put these on.
But preservation, like, that is a thing. Part of the reason why I'm looking at vintage lenses, but we don't need to talk about that.
Mark, what about the vintage lenses?
What about them?
Look, everyone always gets so hype when you talk for hours and hours on end about vintage lenses.
No, because all they hear is a big number and they go like, bah, bah, that's a big number. And I go like, yeah, I know. You missed the part where I agreed with you. It's a big number, which is why I didn't buy it.
But you did buy some.
I did buy vintage lenses, but not those $100,000 ones.
$80,000?
No.
$60,000.
No.
$58,000.
No.
It's like inverted Price is Right.
$43,500.
No. It's weird that you said 58 because that's
$43,499.
That's my favorite focal length, though. No.
He has a favorite focal length?
Everyone has a favorite focal length.
I prefer 44.
That's not one.
Well, that's why I like it. It's unique, rare. It's the Bigfoot of lenses.
Actually, no, the Helios 44-2 is actually a very popular vintage lens.
He didn't know that.
Don't not give me credit for things I don't deserve.
That sounds like a thing I exactly would do.
Thank you.
I like 35. 35 millimeters is a good all-rounder.
I feel like it's become a little too common nowadays as the all-rounder. That's why I like look for a 40 or a 45. But Minolta's 45 is actually of a newer generation, so it doesn't match up with the MC3s. And so sadly, like there's kind of a missing gap. However, I did discover Minolta and Leica had a partnership in crafting lenses.
Who doesn't like a Minolta?
That was the commercial. Yeah, that's the commercial. Uh-huh.
Was it?
Yeah.
God, they should have hired
me. Who doesn't like a Minolta? You know, Leica, the Italian company.
Leica and Minolta, two traditionally Italian companies.
Who doesn't like a Minolta?
They practically bleed carbonara.
So there's a lens that's popular in the Leica family called the Leica Summicron 40 millimeter. Minolta has a 40 millimeter f2. If you hold these two lenses next to each other, you'll realize they are the exact same lens. So there is a 40 millimeter Minolta, but not many people know about it because it was made for the Leica mount, the CLE.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh.
So I'm thinking that there actually is a missing focal length that people don't know about. I discovered this just recently. A 40 millimeter would be a really cool different focal length because the 45 is too new, but the 40 millimeter was made back in either the early 70s or the late 60s. There were actually a few different models of it. There were three. The first was actually an identical one to the Summicron. And then the other one was still single coated, but it was Minolta branded. And then there was another one that's double coated, which is actually what Minolta is known for, which is double coating. But by then it was already close to the era when there's MD lenses.
So double coated as in like the glass is double coated with anti-reflexive coating or something like that.
Yes, multi-coated. I don't know if exactly double coated, but sure. The other one was definitely single coated.
Do they have a 69 length?